Someone asked me last week how I prepare my homilies. So I'm going to give you insider trade secret. I go to a website. It's called extralonghomilies.org. And that's what I do, right? No, I start with, as soon as this Mass finishes tonight, I'll start praying with the gospel for next Sunday. And sometimes things are like super easy. Like you see the gospel passage or the readings and a theme just jumps off at the page and it's easy. It's like our women last night playing a certain school from up the road. 77 to 48, easy. Threes are dropping, just housing people, right? I'll leave the college unnamed. Let's just say it's providential they don't play us anymore. Okay. Because there would be more and more Great Falls. Okay, so. And then other times it's not like that. And it's a grinder. It's a little bit like our men last night. Where you're in the game, you're in the fight, man. And you're getting after it, you got a tough opponent. And shots you normally make might not be falling, but you're just going to dig it out, right? So you got to get tougher on the rebounds, you got to get tougher on defense, and you just got to find a way. That was this gospel for me. So all week, I'm just staring at the thing, just looking. Like, Lord, what's the angle? What's the approach? What do you want your people to hear about this gospel? And of course, it's the Beatitudes. It's Luke's version of the Beatitudes. And you're like, man, come on, Father. Like, step up your game. That's like the basics. It's the Magna Carta of Christianity. Preach it, right? However, listen again. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are now hungry. Blessed are you who are now weeping. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil. Blessed. But Luke doubles down. And so it goes on. Woe to you. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are satisfied. Woe to you who laugh now. And woe to you when all speak well of you. Friends, if you're not at least a little bit bothered by this passage, then I suspect that you haven't really listened to it. What's the Lord doing? Well, let's go back and let's talk about that word blessed. Blessed. The Greek is makarios. Makarios. It means blessed. It means fortunate. It never means happy. So if you ever see a translation where it says, happy are you who are poor, you know it's a bad translation. For the ancient Greeks, the only people who were blessed weren't people at all. They were the gods. And they were makarios, blessed, precisely because they were immortal. And they were not subject to any of the struggles of our earthly life. Sickness, suffering, and certainly death. They're the blessed ones, makarios. What does Jesus do? He takes it in exactly the opposite way. He says, the ones who are makarios, blessed, are the ones who look the least like the Greek gods. The poor, the hungry, the weeping, those who are excluded and insulted and hated, they're the blessed ones. Have we listened to that? Do you feel blessed when you're in any of those situations? And I think at superficial first glance, most of us would say, no, not at all. Something's wrong if I feel that way, if I am that way. So what does it mean? Where do we go? How can these be paths to blessedness? Well, friends, first, they're all paths of dependence. They're all paths of dependence. But of course, we don't really like to be dependent, do we? They're also all paths of weakness. And nobody likes that. None of us like to admit our weakness. They're all paths to trust. But how difficult is trust? Isn't it hard? Especially when life looks like it's turned against you, to trust, to make an act of faith, to stay in the fight and trust. Well, are these really paths of blessedness then? And as I pondered that, what came to me was this, though. And this, I submit, is the key. These are all paths that Jesus walked. They're all paths that Jesus walked. And that, my friends, is the key. Because if you're a Christian, you want to be like the Lord. You want to be where Jesus is. You want to be with Him. Your walk is meant to be a walk right behind Him, right with Him, close to Him. It's not, by the way, a path that is always comfortable, a path where everything is provided for you, a path that is safe and easy, comfortable, complacent. It's a real walk with Jesus Christ. But guess what? The way Jesus walked on this earth is exactly all these things that he says lead to blessedness. Jesus was poor. He said, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus was hungry. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards, he was hungry. He was a man of sorrows. Think of him at the tomb of his good friend Lazarus. John writes, "Jesus said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said, 'Sir, come and see.' And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, 'See how much he loved him.'" Jesus, who we claim to follow, who we seek with our hearts, he was hated, insulted, excluded, denounced. Mark writes, "Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days." If you want to know the one you follow, look there. Look at the stations of the cross and see. This is the one we're trying to get right behind. This is what it looks like to actually follow him. You see, if his poverty and his hunger and his sorrow and the way he was rejected by the world, if those become our points of reference, the lens through which we see everything in our life changes. But are they our points of reference? And that's the question, right? Because how would we normally see ourselves in those circumstances? I think our first instinct is to see ourselves as abandoned, bereft, in desperate need, not necessarily close to Jesus. How do we know God loves us? Oh, it's when we're rich, meaning we have all that we need. Our temporal needs are taken care of. Everything's good, smooth sailing. We're satisfied. I have what I want. More than just what I need, I have what I want. When we're laughing, life is easy. When we're well respected. But friends, The gospel challenges us, right, to live differently. And that's a hard challenge. It's a strong challenge to us. Think of the first reading that we heard from Jeremiah. What a powerful and amazing reading. Cursed is the one who trusts in human beings, who seeks his strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. What does Jeremiah mean? What is the word of God saying to us there? Friends, it's not that we can't trust anyone. It's not that we shouldn't enjoy the good things of life. It's not that we can't laugh and be satisfied. It's not that we can't enjoy when we're well reputed. However, where are we planted? Where do our roots draw strength from? Because if we trust in the things of the world, and that's what Jeremiah means when he says about the flesh, if we trust in the earthly things, if we put our hearts there, our purpose there, our well-being all there, then we will not be grounded in something that can give us life. Our roots are drawing strength from the wrong source, and we will dry up. We will not be able to handle the difficulties that come with life. But there is another way. In fact, Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And we're called to root ourselves in him. So Jeremiah goes on, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes, and it will come. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit." It's a way to walk that's different, isn't it? To struggle, to stay rooted, especially when the heat comes and when there's drought. How deep do our roots go? Are we with Jesus in just superficialities, or can we go deeper, especially when we have to walk a path that is not something that the world values? See, the Beatitudes, friends, are a path that gets us close to Jesus. As different as they look to us, if we walk those paths, we get close to the Lord. And in that is the source of our life. Are you poor? Yeah. Are you hungry? Yeah. Are you in need in any way? Yeah. Do you have sorrow in your life? Yeah. Are you denounced because of your faith? If you live it well, probably. In some quarters of this culture, you bet. The call is for us to be mature enough to see that as a path of blessedness. That precisely when we engage that and we say, "I am poor. I need you, Jesus. I can't survive on my own. I do have trouble. I do grieve. I'm not always well reputed if I follow you." If we can live that, then we live blessedness. The Beatitudes are a call to get close to Jesus. Not just to get close to him, but to depend on him. We depend on the Lord. See, it's all about living in dependence versus living independence. See what I did? To live in dependence versus trying to live independent of him. There's no path of blessedness if we're independent of the Blessed One. But if we live in dependence, if we take up our crosses, If we follow him in our poverties, in our weakness, in our difficulties, in our questions, then his power comes into our life. So friends, this week, just as I stared at this gospel, trying to see what the Lord might say, stare at your own life. Stare at the poverties. Stare at the difficulties. Stare at the way your faith will challenge you and maybe even cause you to lose reputation. Because friends, right there is where Jesus is. He's not outside of those poverties. He's in those poverties, beckoning you to come to him. And to come to him and to follow him that way is the key to joy. It's the key to our purpose in life. It's the key to blessedness. So blessed may you be as you follow our Lord Jesus Christ.